cliffcentral.com. Hello and welcome to another In Conference with Michael Jackson right here on your favorite podcast platform. This is cliffcentral.com, and this show, In Conference with Michael Jackson, is where you get to meet the people I'm lucky enough to meet on my world of speaking at conferences all around the planet. I've just got back from traveling to Switzerland. I think I've done 190 conferences so far this year. It's like nuts. My wife says, by the way, if I was better looking, I would have been unstoppable. So according to her, I'm not that successful yet. But what I do get to do is to meet an awful lot of really cool people. And that's why when Gareth and I were chatting some time ago, Mr. Cliff suggested, why don't you bring this show to the radio station with a podcast platform? Let's push out the people that you meet, because they're all thought leaders, inspirational guys, motivators, successful business people, entertainers. And my guest today really fits in with all of those profiles, really, because we're privileged to have none other than South African singing legend Danny Kaye joining us from his secret home studio on Skype, plugged in through several different machines and all the rest of it. And boy, does Danny Kaye have a story to tell you. Let's find out as we welcome him to the show. Danny, a real joy to have you, sir.
Thank you, Michael. It's really great to be with you.
You know what? You've done some incredible stuff in your career. I mean, I don't think there's a person in Southern Africa, if not around the world now, who doesn't know who Danny Kaye is. And you're an entertainer with a brain, because you've got a BA from WITS as well, right?
There was a long time in my career where being a professional musician seemed like a very far away dream. And most kids with parents that are concerned about them, I was forced to go to university against my will at the time. And I got an undergrad in law and then went on to WITS Business School and did a mini MBA at WITS Business School, and then gave it all up to enter the wild world of entertainment.
Now, there you go. How do you know when someone's got an MBA? They always bloody tell you. But I'm so proud of that, because it was interesting. A couple of podcast episodes ago, we talked to Gary Bailey, the former Man United goalkeeper, who's still a United ambassador. And his dad said to him, as the Ipswich goalkeeper that his dad was at the time, Gary, you're going to be a footballer, but my goodness, go and get yourself a business career as well. And you were grounded. I mean, as you say, it took you a long time, many years, to become an overnight success. How did that happen?
Oh, well, you know, Michael, when I was at school, I was a pretty average student. My days were consumed with studying music, trying to be a musician, trying to learn from the greats that I idolized. And education wasn't really a priority to me. I would get 40-50% for most of my high school career. But then in matric, kind of dawned on me that I needed to pull up my socks and get into university. This dream of becoming a musician seemed very hard to achieve. I did pretty well in matric out of nowhere, to the surprise of my parents. Went to WITS. And then WITS Business School, and then started working for a big investment bank. And all of that time, through those 7 or 8 years, I was really struggling, to try and break through into the industry. I was submitting demos to all the massive record labels, getting kicked out of most of those offices. It was terrible timing. As I got my first job in the 9-to-5 corporate world, I was offered a record deal and faced a crossroads of, what to do: follow my dreams, pursue my passion, or take the safer option. And my boss at the time that hired me after 7 or 8 interviews to get into this damn job said, Danny, this bank will still be here, this job will still be here, but your dream won't be if you don't go after it right now. And those were wise words by an investment banker, if I think back at it now. And that's exactly what I did.
Which is incredible, really, and great that your dad had that confidence in you as well. The rest, as they say, then became history. But what intrigues me now, and for people listening to this podcast who are wondering why Danny Kaye is speaking and not singing, it's because something else has changed now within your life as well. And when I saw you on stage in an event that I was at in Cape Town recently, I watched you walk up on stage for one of the first of your speaking gigs to tell your story. What made you decide that you wanted to tell the story rather than sing from stages, Danny?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Michael. What prompted me to kind of enter your world, you know, where, you know, you're one of the giants of this world. And I mean, I was very nervous and intimidated because while I'm very comfortable with my band behind me and singing the songs that people know, this really was, you know, new territory for me. And I wanted to do it because I think people didn't really know my story. You know, they kind of had heard my name. They know my songs. They think they know what I'm about. But I realized that if I gave, you know, the public a view into my journey and some of the challenges and just showed my humanity and that, you know, regardless of, you know, this guy that you think you may know or you see on TV, like when you hear stories of what people really had to endure and go through, I thought it would be A, entertaining, and B, maybe would inspire people to not give up on their dreams in their life, to pursue through tragedy and try and get, you know, get to the other side. And the great thing about my talk is that I still do get to sing. So while I tell my story of my life and some of the things that I've been through and try to relay some messaging, I sing the songs that, you know, got me there along the way. So it's quite a unique experience for me to talk and sing for an hour. And I'm actually really enjoying it.
And it is an incredible tale. And, you know, for Danny Kaye to admit that he was nervous up front, he didn't show it on stage, I must tell you. True professionals never do. But what was intriguing was the audience response, because I was sitting amongst the audience listening and watching to their response. And I think it stopped people dead in their tracks. It's the story of your journey, the story of some personal tragedy, the stories that people can learn from, as you say. I mean, you know, here's Danny Kaye, voted by Reader's Digest as one of the most trustworthy 100 public personalities in the country. He's got MTV Awards under his belt. He's won more awards than you can shake a stick at, and done some really incredible stuff. But, you know, to turn it now and become a speaker, I have the utmost admiration for you. I think what you're doing with a very human story, there's factors of entertainment built into Danny Kaye's story, as you'd imagine. But Danny, you're opening the kimono here. You're bearing your soul, and it's a remarkable bloody journey that you've been on as well. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah, it was tough, Michael. Thank you for that. You know, it was tough because I really had to expose myself in order to be honest with my story. And, you know, I just realized that if I didn't give 100% of all my lows, all the times I was in tears and you know, really was on the edge of hanging up my microphone and, you know, when I got hated on from the public or from the press, and I needed to really be honest with myself, and I thought only then would an audience see my humanity and say, look, you know, we all just the same. You know, sure, some of us have, you know, different roles in life. Some of us are on radio. Some of us are speakers. Some of us are janitors. But at the end of the day, we all are human, and we have similar stories of failure, success, tragedy. And my story, I guess, incorporates all those things. So I've had some wonderful moments where I've got to, you know, win awards and share stages with some of the greats in the business. But I've also had some terrible times, you know, the loss of my best friend, my brother, who was my manager, my partner, and what that did to not only my life, but my family's life. And me holding this public persona that I have together when, you know, and I speak about it in my talk, you know, there were cameramen at my brother's funeral while I was, you know, burying him. And I was like, you know, it's a very difficult thing to go through privately. And sometimes, you know, when you're a public person, it's compounded that much more. And I just hope that by the end of my talk, you see that, you know, we actually knew very little about Danny. We thought we knew a lot about him, but you know, I'm showing a different side to what I typically expose in an interview, you know, like on a top billing or something like that. This is really uncut, unadulterated me.
One of the things that really struck me from the story you were telling when I saw you in Cape Town was you almost signed a mega value multi-million dollar contract to become world famous. I mean, we're talking to the level of a Justin Bieber or the level of a Maybe that's just the wrong. Somebody showed me an old-fashioned sewing machine in an antique shop the other day and said that's still a better singer than Justin Bieber. So I apologize for mentioning that. But, I mean, you could have been a Justin Timberlake.
No. Well, the truth is I did get that deal, and I was signed to a very big deal and relocated to London in 2003. It really was an unprecedented deal in the South African music business. And it was just as my star was rising in South Africa, the biggest label in the world, Polydor Universal, who was the label and still is to the Rolling Stones, Eminem, Janet Jackson, and many others, signed me. I really thought this was the beginning of huge things for me. And then, to cut a long story short, 24 months later, after, rubbing shoulders with the biggest and best in the international industry, I was dropped from the label, had to return home, defeated, and answer, to the South African press, to my fans, and I guess more importantly to myself, that I'd lost this huge opportunity. And bringing myself back from that, really took a lot. I do talk about that in the speech, but those are really difficult times.
I'm sure. And, let me just clarify for the benefit of people who've not seen you speak yet that, this was through no fault of Danny's. I mean, this is not a lack of musical ability or talent, because my God, sir, you've got that in bagfuls. This was a circumstance that was completely and utterly out of your control and didn't make any rational sense at all.
Yeah, I mean, there is, I think for every huge star that makes it, there are probably 1,000 that were exactly like me on the international scene that, some unfortunate turn of events happened. In my case, it was as simple as the guy that signed me, his name was Greg Castell, a big executive for Polydor, got in a fight with the label head, Lucian Grange. He got fired, and kind of in a vindictive move against Greg, they said, the Danny Kaye project is being dropped from the label along with your job. You both sacked. And we were both out of there pretty much in 24 hours.
So, clutching a cardboard box and a lot of bitter tears, I'm sure.
And that's exactly what happens to so many musicians. But, I got some perspective in the fact that most talented, and there are many talented bedroom artists, talented guys that never even in their own territory get the opportunity to shine, let alone on a world stage. And I was just grateful that in little old South Africa, I had a territory, I had a fan base that loved me. And I came home and I said, look, let me nurture it. It's better to be, a kind of a fish in some pond than in none. So that's exactly what I did.
And part of that lesson is what you're sharing within the Danny Kaye story as you're talking about it now on corporate stages. And I think, Danny, the reason it resonates so well with business audiences everywhere is that it's human. It's, as you say, it happens to people from different walks of life, from celebrities who have a letter for their surname to people who just literally act as the sales reps in various organizations or the receptionists in others. And it's this triumphs of overcoming adversity and personal problems that really resonated with me. My prediction is that Danny Kaye's story is going to be one of the most widely sought after corporate presentations ever. I think you've carried that magic, that talent that you've got, into the most human opening the kimono story I've ever heard. And this is not a You Magazine kiss and tell. This is from the gut, from the heart, and it's an absolutely magnificent thing.
Well, thank you, Michael. I mean, listen, I really appreciate that. I mean, I think, as I said, I'm not trying to be, modest here, but this has been probably the toughest, creative, emotional thing I've had to go through was writing this keynote. And I thought it would be a lot easier, but I realized that without an interviewer on the other side of the microphone and just standing up there alone and no audience interaction, it really is a very, very difficult.
Bearing your soul. I mean, I must confess, I chuckled when I first heard it. As I heard someone say to me, Danny Kaye's going to be a speaker. And I went, oh, yeah, and Michael Jackson's going to be a singer. But I'm bloody envious, mate, because you've cracked it. You've cracked it. Oh, it's awesome. And I want everyone who's running a conference to book you, because I just think you're bloody magnificent.
Thank you, mate. Look, I think one of the things that I'm enjoying doing is breaking that perception of me, and which is why I want to, you know, and as you say, whether it's the CEO or the tea lady, I think we all, and you know, I'm hoping it's a story that people can relate to, I could never speak on anything that I didn't know, and I think that's why, you know, just telling my story was the most natural kind of entry into this very scary world.
I absolutely love it. Wow. Time is against us, Danny. I've got to give out your website, dannyk.com. How simple is that? And for me to say thank you, sir, for being with us. You'll be a guest on this show again, because in a year's time or less, I want to hear about how many conferences you've done. You're going to be a legend. From me, I've got to say goodbye. From Danny, I've got to say goodbye as well. But a real pleasure being with you. Thanks for listening to us. And that's the caliber of guest that you meet on In Conference with Michael Jackson. Been a pleasure being with you. CliffCentral.com.